My first scripture this morning is found in, let's get to where I need to be here, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, if you have your scriptures and you want to turn there. We're in Acts this morning, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and it's a short verse, it's verse 5. Acts chapter 16, verse 5. In Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 5, it reads, "So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily." Why do you think that was happening? The churches were growing in faith. They were increasing in number daily. I say it was because of what I call the Christian perspective. Everybody know what that word is, perspective means? It's kind of a, I looked it up in the dictionary because I wanted to make sure I had the right thing for it. But perspective is sort of a an artistic term. When someone paints a painting and they put somebody in the forefront and they've got trees, kind of looks like it's in the back, and then they got a house maybe further back, that's called perspective. It looks like depth. You know what I mean? It's an artistic term. But I like the second term, which was found in the Webster's Dictionary. And I'm going to read it to you because I want you to kind of feel this. I want you to understand this. The aspect in which a subject or its parts are mentally viewed. The aspect is mentally viewed. Especially a view of things such as objects or events in their true relationship or relative importance. The Christian perspective is what we have. Pastor Rich has been talking about in the last week, and he preached on fighting the good fight. It's our perspective which gives us the pattern, the thought, in order to fight that fight. You can't fight a fight if you don't know what you're fighting. You know what I mean? If you're just swinging around in the air out there somewhere, say you're in a back alley somewhere and you heard a noise, you just start swinging. You're swinging. You don't know what you're swinging at. There ain't nothing there. Our Christian perspective gives us a view of the world. It's how we look at the world. Let's look at the first line of the Apostles' Creed that we just spoke. Okay? This gives us perspective. Perspective. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's a perspective. It's a truth. It's something we look at and adhere to. We believe it, okay? Everybody believe that God created the world? How about the universe? Created us? Created everything in it? All right? Take the world's perspective, for example. Let's look at the world. Liberals and secular humanists who say there is no God view all that is and say, where does it come from? Where's all this stuff come from? They have no idea. Because they say, well, there is no God. There's no spiritual realm. We don't even want to think about that. You know why? Because we can't test it. The scientists can't put God in a test tube, right? Put him on a Bunsen burner and see what he's made of. They can't find him. We found him because he lives in the spiritual realm. But all this was created. Disregarding scripture which states that God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it, they create elaborate fantasies, elaborate stories to explain where everything came from. Okay? Like the Big Bang. Everybody heard of the Big Bang? You've heard of the Big Bang theory? Everything started with a huge explosion in space somewhere. Right? It's just a minute little thing that was out there, and for some reason it went bang, and all the galaxies came into existence, and all the worlds came into existence, and then all of a sudden this one little planet here, Earth, came into existence, and because of some goo in a pond somewhere with some water, this life just started magically. It just popped up out of nowhere, right? And over a period of time, we showed up. Talk about a fantasy. That is really a fantasy. I have an easier time believing in a God who created everything, put us here for a purpose, than rather than all that to happen. And it took millions and millions and billions and millions, and they waved their hands around trillions of years, right? Kind of like, you ever see the magicians, that sleight of hand? I tell you what, if I knew some magic tricks, I'd pull one out right now. But that's what the scientists do. They wave their hands all over the place. It took millions of years. And they weren't even there to see it. That's what drives me crazy. They weren't even there to see it. They just write it down in their book. Well, it had to take millions of years because there is no God. There's no God. We can't find him. They create telescopes and they look way out into the universe, okay, way out. And they can't find God. They see planets, they see stars, they see galaxies, they see all this stuff, and they look further and further and they see no God. Well, they say, well, he doesn't exist. We can't see him, can't find him. And then they get out their microscopes, right? And they start looking in their microscopes and they look further and further down, just smaller and smaller and smaller. And they keep looking and looking. They see viruses and bacteria. And they can look into our cells. They look at the one cell that's on your skin here. This one right there. I think it's number 45,732. That's the one right there. Yep. They look at that cell and they say, well, I don't see God. And they look even further. They got a big device called the CERN Collider. You ever heard of that? It's CERN. And what they do is they take particles, okay, and they got this really big long loop, and they spin these particles inside this vacuum, and they spin it, and they spin it, and they do two lines of particles, and they get them close to the speed of light, and then they smash them together, right? They get them together like a train and a Greyhound bus, and they put them right there, and they smash them, and they blow up, and they look even further at what those particles are made of, and they can't see God. And the amazing part is, we human beings stand in the middle of that. We stand in the middle of the macro, the very large, and the micro, the very small. We stand right there in the middle. It's amazing God put us right here in the middle and said, look what I have created. And the smarter we get, the more we look, at least I do, I go, oh my God. What a creation that you have put together. It all fits together so wonderfully, right? You got to have liquid water, and all this water got to have stuff in it that helps life, you know what I mean? We have oxygen to breathe, and our lungs work, and God has created all this, and he puts us right in the center of it. So we can look really small, and we can look really large at all that he's created and marvel at it. And the secular humanists go, I can't find God. It's not there. I don't see him. And they miss the forest for the trees. Look what he has created and put together, and they say there is no God. Our next scripture is in Romans, and because it describes what these people are doing. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. When you turn there and you read this, it amazes me that, you know, close to 2,000 years ago, someone wrote this. And it's relevant for today. It's relevant for today. It kind of explains what's going on in these poor people's minds. And I don't want you to be mad at the human, secular humanists or the liberals or something like that. You know what I mean? The people that don't believe in God, they've been taken captive. They've been lied to. That's what's going on. They've been lied to. Think of them as prisoners in the jumpsuits with a number on it. Satan's got control of them, and he's just leading them on, and they're following along. People that don't believe in God. He's all around us. But here's what's happened. Romans chapter 1. Let me turn there myself while I'm talking to you. Starting in the 22nd verse, it describes what we're seeing today in our culture. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. There is no God. Only a fool says there's no God. And exchanged the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Most of the unbelieving world serve mammon, money. Or scientists, their God is scientific knowledge. That's all they have. They just keep trying to learn more and more, and they think if they can learn more, that they're going to themselves become gods. But that's what they worship, knowledge. We have the knowledge. Our Christian perspective gives us the knowledge. When someone comes to you and says, oh, yep, the Big Bang happened. Mm-hmm, yeah. I'd ask that person, did you see it? Were you there? I wasn't there. Were you there? You were there? Man, you're really old. You look great for being a couple hundred billion years old. God was there, and he gave it to us in his word. He told us that he created it. You don't have to come up with all kinds of elaborate fantasies. That is what our Christian perspective gives us. It gives us the knowledge. It gives us sort of glasses, so to speak. We have Christian glasses on, even if you don't wear glasses. If you're a Christian, you're wearing Christian glasses, and everything that you see in the world, you see it through God's word. And you can discern what's going on, and you can see what's going on. That's how we fight the good fight, not only in ourselves, but out into the world, giving truth. Truth. The truth is God the Father created the heavens and the earth. And only a fool says there is no God. And that's what's explained in Romans. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And the next part of the Apostles' Creed is, in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. These are some of the things that we believe in. So Jesus Christ. The world religions do not even believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Progressive liberals do not believe that he even existed. Islam says he existed, but he was only a prophet and not the Son of God. Other religions have no idea who he is, and even liberal Christians are starting to and have denied his divinity. He is the Son of God. And what we believe that he was born, that he lived a life just like we live. I mean, he didn't have a cell phone, okay? He didn't have electricity or running water or a toilet. Didn't have a toilet, okay? They had an outhouse of some kind. But he lived a life like we live. He lived a life of pain. He felt pain. He felt joy. He felt love. He cried. All the things that we do, he did. And he lived that earthly life. And when it came time, he was put to death for our sins. That is one of the most important things that we believe as Christians, that Christ died for our sins. The mistakes we make in life, the things that we do wrong. God has a perfect standard, like in the Ten Commandments, okay? And we all know the Ten Commandments, and I can show them to you. But we break them, or at least some of us skirt them sometimes. You ever skirt the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Don't commit adultery, okay? But have you ever looked on another woman with lust? You've committed adultery in your heart? Same thing for you ladies. Have you ever looked on a man and go, oh, he's really hot? You've committed adultery in your heart. You didn't actually do it physically, but it happened. So even, you know, what's inside of us. Sometimes we make mistakes, and Christ came. And he said, I'll take all those mistakes on me. I'll take all those sins on me. I'll put them on me, and I will take them into hell and allow hell to burn them off. Done. It's done. He said on the cross, it is finished. Jesus Christ has done that. And so his Father has said, you know, you are my Son, and I will give you all judgment into your hands. All judgment. He is going to judge the living, the dead, and by what perspective shall Christ judge them? Did you accept him as your Savior? We all have sins. I mean, we say as Christians, we are sinners saved by grace. I'm still a sinner. I still make mistakes. I don't do everything perfect. But Christ has covered everything that I will ever do. He has covered it. It's been taken away. And when God sees me, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed on me. That's what you receive when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. You have His righteousness now. He doesn't see sinful Dave. He sees righteous Dave because of what Christ did. That's what he sees. In John 14, the Gospel of John, I'm just going to go front a little bit in our Bibles. 14:6. Jesus said, and this is what he is going to judge with. This is the judgment. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is perspective that we have as Christians. Okay? We believe that. We know it. We live it. We live it, brothers and sisters. We know that we've been forgiven. That's why we can love God, love others, and go. Tell other people about Jesus Christ. You know, if you wait too long, I've had people say to me when I've tried to tell them about Jesus that they need to be saved, that they need a Savior. I'll get to it. I have tomorrow. I'll get to it. And then tomorrow leads into a week. Tomorrow leads into a week. A week leads into a month. And before you know it, 10 years have dropped behind you. 10 years. And one day, whether it's a car accident, a heart attack, because we don't know the day that we're going to die, physically die. We don't know that day. But one day that comes, and you've waited so long and forgot about it. Ah, who is this Jesus? I don't need him. And that crazy Dave Webster talked to me. Oh, they ought to lock him up somewhere. You know what? He's one of those Christian right-wing crazy people. Somebody get him in a straitjacket. He believes in God. And then your heart stops. And you physically die. Paint this picture in heaven. Okay, there's a place between, say, heaven and hell where there's a throne room. And Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. And all of a sudden, you're ushered in. Right? Jesus looks down at that poor person and says, why didn't you listen to my servant Dave? He kept trying to tell you about getting saved, about accepting me as your Savior. I wanted to save you. I loved you. I loved you so much that I went to the cross. I died for you. And there, yeah, that soul is standing there in eternity. What are you going to say? What could a person say? Well, I never heard of you, Jesus. What? Wrong? Lie? David was there. Lynn was there. Dottie was there. Amy was there. Whitey was there. Trying to tell you, and you didn't listen. You waited. You thought, oh, I got plenty of time. Time is up. You're in eternity. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus judges. The last part of the Apostles' Creed speaks of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. We have the communion of saints going on right now. Every one of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior is a saint. We have Saint Patty here today. We have Saint Whitey, Saint Bob, Saint Dottie. Oh, do you think of yourselves as saints? God looks at you as a saint. He says, this is the communion of saints. They're right here. We're all saints. We have Saint Autumn, Saint Mary. Ain't that wonderful? Oh, There's some saints sitting back there, sitting in the sun. They're watching to make sure that if someone comes to the door, they get them in here. We're saints. Oh my, the communion of saints. The forgiveness of sins. We believe that. That accepting Christ as our Savior, we have forgiveness of sins. That we, when we fall down, God picks us up by our bootstraps, dusts us off and says, okay, saint, keep going. Keep going. He forgives us. The resurrection of the body. The resurrection of the body. One day. Not now. Hasn't happened yet. But one day it's going to happen where all the saints that are in spirit in heaven, and even us here on the earth, one day Christ is going to come back and he's going to say, it is done. I am giving you a glorified body. And what does that glorified body look like? You're going to be about 33 years old. Okay, some of you are not quite 33 yet, all right? Some of us are well past 33, and I'm ready for a redo. Take me back to 33. How about it, Amy? Oh, that's right, Amy's not here. She had the kids. How about it, Autumn? 33? Yeah, you're not quite there. You're getting close, but I'm way over 33. I'm 60. To get taken back to 33, I remember what I was like when I was 30. Think I'm animated now? Oh, baby, at 33, I was running. I was climbing poles like a gorilla. Oh, yeah. I was working. I could work. Man, get them young guys in here. I'll show them how to work. Oh, now I'm 60. I am, huh? They called me Rammy. They called me Rammy, yeah. That was my nickname when I was working at Three Mile. And, oh, there was a thing, man. I would grab a whole pouch full of tools, a stack of prints, and a supervisor, drag him on my back, and run to the job. They called me Rammy. Couldn't hold me down. I'm being held down now. I've got a few years on this body, some wear and tear on here. But there's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection. We get a new body, the eternal body, forever and ever. And it's going to be about 33 years old, and you're never going to age. No more pains. Who here has pain? Anybody got a pain? Huh? When you get up in the morning and try and roll out of bed, and everything's creaking and cracking. It's like somebody's got a whole bundle of sticks and they're breaking them. And I roll out of bed and hit the floor, and it's, oh, the pain, the pain. Please, somebody get me a hot coffee or a cup of tea. Some Advil. And I'll hit the round walking, not running anymore. But the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Can you imagine that, people? Life everlasting in heaven. I mean, there's stuff up there I can't even imagine that God has created for us. Streets paved of gold. People from all walks of history that accepted Christ as their Savior. You're going to get to talk to them. Can you imagine Moses? I mean, I'm trying to look like him. I'm growing it. Okay, Moses probably has a beard down here. We're going to get to talk to Moses, Elijah, the Old Testament saints. And there's going to be people in there that weren't even listed in the Bible that accepted Christ, that believed God would save them. And we're going to get to talk to all of them. And they're going to tell us all the wonderful things that they've experienced in heaven. And we're going to be there forever, forever and ever. There is a book in heaven called the Book of Life. Is your name there? Is your name there in that Book of Life? That's Jesus' Book of Life. When you accepted him as your Savior, he wrote your name in his blood in that book. David Webster. I guess I have to use my full name. David Claude Webster is a saint. He's in my book, and I got him. And there's no way to get out. Praise the Lord. In the book. Your name is only found in that book if you accept Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to read because it's in Revelation chapter 20. And it tells us what's going to happen at this time of judgment. And I saw the dead and the great and small standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book according to their deeds. Everything that we've ever done, thought, said, contemplated is all written down in books. But the most important book is the book of life. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, and every one of them according to their deeds. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, that is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's a Christian perspective. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to give you facts. Because I've run into a lot of people who don't want to believe that. You're an idiot, man. Do you actually believe that? You should be locked up. You're insane. And I said, hey, you can believe it. Or you can deny it. You got a choice. There is a choice. We're the only creatures on this earth, other than the spiritual realm, the only creatures on this earth that have free will. We can choose God or we can reject God. It's your choice. You have it. It's called a Christian perspective. My perspective is I want in on Jesus Christ. I want in on that. I mean, I have looked at my life and how many times that I have screwed something up. And I got a God who's willing to forgive me, excuse me, dust me off and send me on again. That he loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me? Me, a sinner? And Jesus Christ never sinned. He's the Son of God. He didn't have to go there, but he went there because he loved us. For someone to love me that much, to die for me, I want in on that. That's why I'm standing up here. That's why he called me to be a preacher. I want in on that. And I want to tell people, all the people around me. I tell the people at work. I tell customers. Every once in a while, I run into people at Walmart. Now that I'm going to Reading, I've got the Wawa. Anybody ever been in a Wawa? Man, there's all kinds of prospects in there. There's people running all over the place. They're getting coffee. They're getting sandwiches. They're getting scrambled eggs. And I'm going, you're getting that stuff, but how about getting Jesus? A little bit of Jesus. Huh? Let's put a little Jesus on them scrambled eggs. Jesus. Tell them about it. That's what we're here for. Now, I'm going to talk to, I have 7 minutes and 40 seconds left, but there's two people that I want to talk to you about, and both named Martin Luther, okay? They had the Christian perspective, okay? They had the Christian perspective. They looked at the whole world and what was going on through God's Word. Our first one is Martin Luther. A German professor of theology, composer, priest, monk, and a seminal figure in the Protestant Reformation. Okay? 501 years ago, October 31st, just this past week, when he nailed 95 questions to the door of the church, to the Roman Catholic Church, and said, why are we doing this? God's Word says this. Why are we doing this? You people seem to be off a little bit. And one of the things he was really mad about was, at that time, they were selling what they called indulgences. Okay, it takes Christian perspective to look at this. Indulgences. And what an indulgence was, is you had Dave Webster, and he killed somebody, the priest would come to him and say, look, tell you what, you slide $5,000 on my palm, son, and I forgive you that. And people were doing that. And Martin Luther said, no, that is wrong. Only God can forgive sins, and it's a free gift. But at that time, the Catholic Church was using it to make money. Say, hey, brother, slide $5,000 on my palm here. I'll take care of it. You know, everything's good, right? He said no. He had a Christian perspective. He looked out into the world, and he saw what was wrong, and he said, this does not jive with God's Word. And he stood up to it. They wanted to kill him for it, too. The second person, which I'm down to about 5 minutes here, is Martin Luther King Jr. He was born April 4th, 1968, was an American Baptist minister and an activist who became the most visible spokesman and leader in the civil rights movement from 1945 until his death in 1968. What did he do? He was a Baptist minister. He had the Christian perspective. He saw people being abused. And he said, no, this is wrong. Did he raise an army? Nope. Didn't do that. Did he start bombs somewhere or maybe get a rifle and shoot somebody? Nope, didn't do that. He used his Christian perspective and he said, this is wrong. And I'm going to sit right here in the middle of the street, supposedly, and I'm going to say it's wrong. He brought to light something that was terribly wrong. People that were being abused because of their skin color. I tell you what. If you cut me and I take a black person or a Hispanic person or a Latin American person and I cut them, what color do you get? Red. Red blood. Jesus had a human body. You cut him, red blood. Red blood. We are all human beings. I'm not preaching a liberal gospel. I'm preaching the truth. Jesus Christ died for every man, woman, and child on this planet through all history to take away their sins. That is our Christian perspective. That is how we see the world. That's why we love God, love others, and we go. Martin Luther did. All these papers are sticking together. So what do we have in common with both of these men? And a multitude of women and men and even children throughout history is we have that Christian perspective. We believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We believe in the Father who created heaven and earth. We believe in the Holy Spirit that indwells us. When you accept Jesus as your Savior and you say, you cry out to Him, please save me. I'm lost. He saves you and then puts that Spirit inside of you. And that's what helps you to grow. That's what helps you to live a life of the Christian perspective. Think of how your perspective has changed from when you were 10 years old to where you are now, what age you are now. Remember when you were 10? Everybody here can remember when you were 10, right? You were playing, you were having fun. You thought you were going to live just about forever. There was no concept of you getting old, right? I remember when I was a kid, 10, man, I was running around. I was getting into frogs and fishing and beating up on my little brothers and just driving my mom insane, right? I know one time my little brother brought a worm to the dinner table and while everybody was trying to eat, he pulled the worm out and went, boop, hey, mom, look at this. That didn't work well. Okay, but you remember when you were 10 years old. You thought you were going to live a long, long time. I'm 60 years old now, okay? 50 years have dropped past me. My perspective is completely different, all right? Some of us here are old enough to say, I'm seeing the end of my life soon. It is there. It's coming. The end of my life. Do you think about what you have done? What contribution did you make to the people around you? There was a song, it doesn't matter. But some of the lyrics said, you know, before you know it, 10 years have dropped behind you. Before you realize it, 10 years can drop behind you. You get working in, you know, everyday life and going to work and doing stuff and just living your life and dealing with people in your family and all the stuff that's going on, the joys, the heartaches, everything. Before you know it, 10 years drop down. Quick. So I don't know, where are you at in your life? I know most of the people here, my dear friends, my fellow saints, are Christians. This day I ask if you're not a Christian, at least consider it. Talk to any one of these people here. Talk to me after the service. I'll explain it to you as much as I've explained it here. You can have eternal life. You can have that freedom and know that when you finally close your eyes in death, that you're going to open them up to an extraordinary place that God has prepared for you personally. Christian perspective. It's what we use to see the world. Would you pray with me as we bow our heads? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for all the people that have been here. I thank you so much for the possibility of salvation. It's something we have to choose. I thank you for the men and women of this congregation, that they prayerfully consider and pray for those that are lost and are willing to talk to anybody. So, Father in heaven, I give you all the glory and honor. You gave me this sermon to give. And I give you all my love, and I just thank you so much for the opportunity and the possibility to preach your holy word. In Jesus' name, the congregation says, amen and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.